of a rushing mighty wind, and they filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So something came upon them. We know it was the Holy Spirit. And the result was that they were empowered by God. Because this passage cross-referenced to Luke 24 verse 49, which says, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued or clothed with power from on high." That's the clothing of power that they required. There are various views for that. The first possible interpretation by scholars is that the Holy Spirit has come once to the earth, and you don't need to wait upon God again because He's already here. The second view is that the Holy Spirit needs to come over and over and over and over again. The truth is somewhere in between. The Holy Spirit has come once personally to do His work on the earth, and He is on the planet earth. But on the other hand, we need to learn to wait upon God from time to time to be clothed, to be refreshed with His power from on high. And I believe that balance is where the truth lies. There are others who agree to this truth. Among them is one of my favorite authors, Charles G. Finney. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 2, later you realize that when the Holy Spirit came down, they were all so filled with the Spirit, and they looked like they were drunkard. And the people were watching and says, "Why are you doing this? Are you drunkard that early?" And Peter stood up and preached a sermon, which is a pretty short sermon. And then he had 3,000 souls converted. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 here that the people were crying out for salvation. In fact, at the end of his sermon, it says here, verse 37, "When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' So they were convicted. And they asked for salvation. And in that day," in verse 41, 3,000 souls were added. 3,000 souls. There was no miracle yet. There's no healing yet. The healing came in the next chapter. So what caused salvation to flow for? There was no real demonstration of crusade kind of evangelistic healing yet. And that's what Charles G. Finney calls this power from on high. In his book, Power from On High, a recommended book for every minister. And he says, "They," that is the apostles, manifestly receive the supreme crowning, all important means of the power to prevail with both God and man. The power to fasten saving impression upon the minds of men. This is the clothing of power. And he described what it felt like when this power is there. He says that in his experience, he says, "I will say a little of my own experience in this matter. I immediately found myself endued with such power from on high that a few words spoken here and there to individuals were the means of their immediate salvation. My words seemed to fasten like barbed arrows in the souls of men. They cut like a sword. They broke the heart like a hammer. And the people were convicted." Then he says, "Sometimes I would find myself in a great measure empty of this power." I wonder whether any preachers listening to this word feel sometimes they're empty of the power. Charles J. Finney felt the same thing. And he says, "I would go out and visit and find I make no saving impression." Have you ever felt powerless? He had to. He says, "I would exhort and pray and still be powerless." And he says, "I would then set apart a day for private fasting and prayer, fearing that this power had departed from me, and would inquire anxiously after the reason of this apparent emptiness. after humbling myself and crying out for help, the power will return upon me with all its freshness. And he says, this has been the experience of my life. And this man was instrumental by God in bringing about what we call the Second Great Awakening that changed the face of America. First Great Awakening was under John Wesley, Charles Wesley and George Whitefield. The Second Great Awakening, God used this man. Because he understood that it's not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. Without the Spirit of God, 1 million words spoken by us brings no conviction. But when the Spirit is clothing you from on high with a clothing of power, one word spoken will cause a person to fall under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I've seen it sometimes in the music ministry, and this happens. There's a guy, I believe his name was Charles Dawes or something. And he understood this principle. And every time before he ministered both in preaching and in music. And one time when he was ministering, he used to spend hours every day waiting for that power to come on him. So that in the evening when he comes out, this power is like a clothing on him. I mean, people felt it when Catherine Kuhlman walked in. They felt something else walk in with her. That's a clothing of power surrounding her. And she paid a price to have that. And so, when he came into that meeting, and he being a musician too, all he did was play one note. My friend, just one note. Just went to the piano, and he just played one note. I don't know what note that was. And he just played one note. And people started to cry, weep, fell before the Lord. That's the power from on high. And that's principle number two. We need an empowerment upon us. Now, when the power is there, whatever method you use, there's an anointing. But if there's no power, no matter what programs you use, it is of no avail. Psalms 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So I believe the second major principle on church growth is for ministers or leaders or whoever is doing something unto Christ to be clothed with that power. And that takes prayer. That takes spending time with Him. I visualize this clothing of power to be almost like something like a piece of iron that is well heated, like the branding iron. You know, if you take a coal branding iron, and if you're a farmer, they take this, they may not use that nowadays, they use tags, electronic tags, but long ago, or maybe still someplace today, they take this branding iron, right? I don't know how long it is. And they probably go to the rear end of the animal. And they go, right? I don't know what the animal do, but they go, ah! But that piece of branding iron has to be hot. Red hot. To get as efficient a work as possible. If it were lukewarm, they go, and the animal go, eek! And you look, oh dear, the brand didn't sit properly. You got to redo it. Poor animal. If it was cold, you go, the animal say, itchy. Right? Because there's no branding, you're just tickling the animal. But every time you use the branding iron, after some time it cools down, right? You have to bring it back to the fire. Heat it up again, and then use it again. In the same way, when God uses, we need to spend time with Him for that to come again. Recharge ourselves with the power from on high, like Finney did, and then go around again. And then come back again. Wasn't it Jesus who said in John chapter 15 verse 1 to 3 that those who do not bear fruit He casts out, but He says those who bear fruit He prunes that they may bear more fruit. That's a pruning process, continually going back to Him. The third principle, which is in chapter 3, there was a healing of the lame man in Acts chapter 3. And everyone was wondering what was taking place. And in chapter 4 verse 22, where the miracles still continue, it says, "For the man was over 40 years old, on whom this miracle was of healing was performed." And the Bible tells us that as a result of this marvelous healing in Acts chapter 4 verse 4, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. In one whole chapter, the number grew from 3,000 to 5,000. What was the key? The third principle, signs and wonders. So we recognize the place of signs and wonders. Now as I go along and share these Bible principles, you realize you can analyze any church growth in the world on these principles. You find that some churches apply one or two and they're already happy where they are. They should not. They should aim for all seven principles. Because sometimes you hit one and your church grow, pastors or leaders all get satisfied. After all, it's growing and they still don't get signs and wonders yet. When you have a population of 20 million, a church of 3,000 seems very small. And today people get excited, "Wow, it's a 3,000 member church." My friends, there is kindergarten for Acts chapter 2. They started with 3,000. So we should not be satisfied. We look at the 3,000, we are satisfied. No, don't look there. Look to Jesus and look at the 19 million, well, how many is that? Plus, they are still not saved yet. 19,997,000. And then you realize we haven't reached there yet. And friends, the population of Australian Christians is still not even 2-digit. We are possibly about the 5%. That's why we need to encourage ministers with bigger vision. I will wish every man of God and every church and every pastor, every minister believe in thousands. Because that's the only way we can reach this country. But generally, most ministers are happy when you reach 300 to 500. You know why? Because Jesus is not Lord. They are only concerned for food, clothing and shelter. When a church is about 300, 400, 500, it's just nice to maintain one full-time or two full-time staff. And then they're satisfied. That's not the way God meant it. That is why Jesus says that His hireling cannot be used. Only true shepherds will lay down for the sheep. You know the difference between shepherd and hireling? A hireling works for the wages. A shepherd loves the sheep and gives their life to the sheep. Paul was a shepherd. Paul says, "I will be willing to work that the ministry will go for and have it free." It is important to differentiate that. Third principle, signs and wonders, as we see here. And more signs and wonders took place in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, more signs and wonders. And it tells you in verse 12 to verse 6, verse 12 to verse 16, same principle, principle number 3, signs and wonders. I mean, if God raised two people from the dead, you would definitely have 3,000 in the next meeting. And a lot of criticism, of course. So signs and wonders is important. Acts chapter 5, verse 12 to 16, it says, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of them the rest dare join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Believers, and here's where the church growth took place, were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And the reason was 12 signs and wonders. And verse 15, they brought the sick out into the streets, laid them on the beds and couches, and that at least a shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And the multitude, now here is the multitude gathered from the surrounding cities of Jerusalem, bringing sick people, those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed.